Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for a great trip report. We're headed down to North Carolina with listener Mike to talk about his trip this summer to Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort. Nice long stay there. And we discuss a lot of the new stuff that he did during this trip, including an awesome breakfast at Homecoming, really exploring Pandora for the first time, spending some time in that section of Disney's Animal Kingdom Park. Great meals at places like Morimoto Asia and Tiffin's. And how about Primo Piatto? Also, doing a DVC tour at the Riviera and much more, all coming your way on today's show. Don't forget today's podcast brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today for all of your Disney trip planning needs. They're over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. One extra click does mean a lot to us. Just click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you so very much to our patrons for your support. You allow us to put this show out 3 to 4 times a week all around the world. And it's only because of your support of our show. So thank you so much for that. If you'd like a bonus show every week on Thursdays called Mike in the Midwest and support the show on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1953 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. I hope you had a wonderful weekend, and we always appreciate you starting another fresh work week and back to school week for a lot of folks with us here on the podcast. Today, we're going to have a good time. We're going to get tropical. We're going to head down to Disney's Caribbean Beach. That's going to be kind of the focus of our trip report today. But we're heading to North Carolina with listener Mike. Mike, how's it going today?
Hey, everything's going good. Like we talked about earlier, kind of missed the tropical storm. So had some nice weather, a nice little break from the heat. Good. Unfortunately, back from Disney from the second trip. Like I said, we've had another trip since the one we're talking about today. So having that like immediate post-Disney blues for a week. So just starting to get over it.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm in the same boat right now, actually. So hopefully I got back today as the show releases. So we'll see how that goes. But hey, we'll have to squeeze in both of them. But today I kind of want to jump in and I don't know if we did this last time, but just give a quick little background on your history with Disney. Why are you such a Disney fan?
Yeah, so I went to the park a bunch when I was little. I shouldn't say a bunch. I went probably 4 or 5 times when I was a kid. Ulta, Fort Wilderness, never went to any of the resorts. My wife grew up in Central Florida, so she went a lot, but she was more of a Fort Wilderness person. She didn't really go to the parks as much. When I went, because we were coming from other places, it ended up being big trips, like 9 or 10 days every time, as many park days as we could squeeze in. So I always liked it when I was a kid. She always loved it when she was a kid. And then we were together for a little bit over a year. I knew that she loved Disney. I kind of grown out of it a little bit, or I thought I did. And then I thought, hey, what better place to propose than at Disney? So booked a couple days, went over there. I proposed to her, and we just had such a blast, and it just kind of became an annual thing, and it just built on it. So after the first time, it was like, hey, we need to come back again. And then after that, it was like, okay, like now we need a little bit longer trip. And now it's turned into basically being obsessed to the point where we have to talk ourselves out of going to Disney every single time there's a vacation coming up. We're like, all right, this time we're going to go to Jamaica or we're going to try to go to Hawaii. And then it always falls back. And it's like, hey, like for that Jamaica trip, we could get 8 days at a resort and 5 day proper.
Yeah.
So it just kind of developed into that. And every trip it grows. And now we go with my son and it just, it gets better every single time.
Yeah. I'm in that same boat. You know, it's always the same thing. Like, oh, we already have annual passes, you know? So it's like, you know,
you don't want to lose money on it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, I got to squeeze it in. Then of course you're renewing, you're in this vicious cycle. So I 100% get what you're talking about. So now let me ask you the one other question I've been asking everybody here leading up to the 50th in October. If you could bring back any promotion, attraction, parade, what have you, something from the last 50 years, what's the one thing that's gone that you would bring back if you got the opportunity?
So I like the classic stuff. I like the nostalgic side of Disney. So as I developed my adult life or adult love for Disney, I got into all these podcasts, all these YouTube videos. I started realizing that I would look at something that I had never even been on, like Horizons, because I just missed that when it closed and when I was too young that I don't remember it. I'd be like, man, I really miss Horizons. And I go, wait a minute, I haven't even been on that. So I just have this like strong nostalgia, and one of the biggest things is for MGM Studios. I think last time I said Wishes because I kind of have an emotional attachment. So I'll make the change on it now. I would bring back Great Movie Ride. Yes. I think that was like the heart of that park, and I love Great Movie Ride. And I went on Mickey and Minnie's for the first time this time, and I was ready to give it its fair shake, and I'm still strongly in favor of Great Movie Ride was a better ride.
I'm the same thing. Yeah, I mean, Mickey and Minnie's is a nice attraction. I wouldn't have minded had both. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you wouldn't have had to get rid of the Great Movie Ride, Mickey and Minnie's, and it's a fine ride, but I'm just more of, like you said, it was the heart of the park, and it's centrally located. It's what the park's all about and all that stuff. So we're on the same page here. So we're having a good start to our week. All right, so let's hop into this trip you took to Caribbean Beach. So tell us when you took it, who went down with you, and a little bit of the planning. Like, why'd you pick the time and all that stuff?
So originally we were planning on doing a big Fort Wilderness trip in September, and we had to cancel it. Some work conflicts came up, and we had a 3-day trip to Caribbean Beach planned. I had a big course, and I was like, hey, if I pass this course, it'll be a happy trip. If I don't, it'll be a sad trip. Either way, I got something to look forward to on the back end. So we planned a 3-day trip, and then when we had to cancel the September trip, we just kind of were like, you know what? Let's just extend it. And I looked at how many days I could take off, and we basically said, all right, how many days can we squeeze in there? So we ended up doing the 10-day trip. We bounced around resorts. So, you know, you helped us plan everything, and I think I probably sent you 50 emails, and we made like 10 different changes on the resorts. We originally started with like a Caribbean Beach, and then we bounced over to All Pop, and then we were going to do like half Pop and half Old Key West, and then we switched back to Caribbean Beach for the whole thing. But the whole planning effort, you were a huge help in that, so... You know, shout out.
I appreciate that.
Shout out to you getting everything because it made it super easy. You know, sitting on the phone with Disney for 6 hours waiting for them to make a change, I could just be like, "Hey, Mike, I think we're going to change this." So, awesome to have that help.
Thank you.
This trip when we went into planning, actually, it was tough because I love the things that I love at Disney, and I've been afraid to try new things because it costs so much money. So I'm like, all right, I'm spending all this money. I want to eat, I want to ride, I want to do what I know that I love, so I know I'm going to have a blast. But there's just so much to do that I was like, you know what, I'm going to be committed this trip. We're trying new things, we're planning new things, and we're going to stick to it. So that was kind of how we went into it. I've got a huge bucket list Word document on my computer. So I literally went through and I was like, all right, we got to get at least 10 new things off of this trip because we have enough time there. So that's kind of how we went into the planning. And we knew we had our 5 park days, but we wanted to do a lot at the resort, and that was kind of the fundamental for how we picked out where we're going to eat, what days we're going to do parks and all that.
Very cool. Very cool. I like the bucket list idea that you just have a document there and like, okay, I'm going to check off these time, you know, get kind of maybe prioritize. I want to get these things done this trip and then go back maybe another time and work on some of these other things. Because I'm the same way, especially with restaurants, right? I have my favorites. And it keeps me from trying new things because I want to go back and, you know, have that PB&J milkshake at 50s Primetime. Mm-hmm. But that keeps me away from other restaurants. And it is one of those things. But for me, when I try a new experience, a lot of times that becomes a new favorite. You know, it's like I should have tried this 10 years ago. So, yeah, it's a tough kind of decision to make with a lot of that stuff. Now, you mentioned you were down there with your wife. And how old was your son during this trip? How old is he?
He's 3.
He's 3. Okay, so... How did Caribbean Beach work out for you guys? You guys were there a long time, you know, during the summer. What were, just walk our listeners through your feelings of Caribbean Beach.
So Caribbean Beach was awesome. We originally wanted to do Pop. We had never stayed at a Value. We decided to upgrade to Caribbean Beach kind of at the last minute. And we're so glad we did. So we actually took your tips on where to stay. And we called the week before. We requested Aruba and we got it. Ended up being the perfect place to be. We love the resort. And we spent so much time there to the point that when we went back to Disney again just last week, I asked my wife, I was like, hey, do you want to go back over to Caribbean Beach? She was like, no, I'm a little burnt out on Caribbean Beach because we did a lot there. We spent so much time around the resort and we absolutely loved it. Having the Skyliner there was awesome. Having the Riviera there was awesome. Some things were just starting to open up. So Sebastian's Bistro still wasn't open yet, but Banana Cabana was serving some of Sebastian's food and you could sit in there. So it might as well have been open, but the pool was fantastic. And we were at an Aruba. We were kind of in that perfect spot where it was like a 5-minute walk to the Skyliner. We had laundry and a quiet pool right out of the door of our room and maybe a 5-minute walk across the bridge to get back over to the pool into kind of that main hub at Centertown. So we were kind of positioned in the perfect place. The only thing I would say that was a little rough about it, and this is if you're at any big resort, it's going to be like this. trying to take the buses anywhere was a struggle.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
getting to Epcot and getting to Hollywood Studios, super, super easy. We love the Skyliner. We actually rode the Skyliner a lot when we weren't going to parks. Like, we finished dinner and be like, ah, let's just ride it around. But the buses were a little bit tough, so we tried to avoid them after the first couple of days.
So I stayed in Aruba as well this summer when I was down there. Now, we were in building 51, 52, something like that. We were real close to Jamaica. We were in that building next to Jamaica, the yellow buildings. Ours was pink because it was Aruba, but right next to the yellow Jamaica buildings. And the thing we found out with the buses is we were actually closer to the Jamaica bus stop than the Aruba bus stop because it was down a little further. And if you went to the Jamaica bus stop, you were basically going one stop upstream, so you had a better chance at getting, you know, on the bus was less crowded when it arrived because you had gotten on one stop earlier as it circled the resort. So that's just something to think about. You know, if you're in Aruba, you may be, you know, closer to Jamaica if you're on that Jamaica end of the that little village there. Now, one of the things you mentioned though about Caribbean Beach is that, you know, you had your young son, and you said some of the best times of the entire trip. You've talked about how you enjoy all these restaurants and attractions. You're really into this stuff. But just walking around the resort to kind of wind down with your son. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, so you kind of have like a pivotal moment on every trip, I feel like, or almost like a I'm here moment where it just hits you and it's like, all right, now I can really enjoy my vacation because you build it up so much and then you try not to get like end of trip anxiety where it's like, oh man, I only got 4 days left. I only got 3 days left. But I usually have that moment on every trip where it's like, oh, like, all right, it's like everything releases off and it's like, all right, I'm at Disney, like relax, have fun, shut out everything else. So that very first night, we needed some groceries. So my wife started putting my son to bed, and I ran over to Publix, which was actually super convenient. It was only like an 8-minute drive to Publix to get groceries and everything. So I wanted to give him a little bit of time. So on my drive back, I actually went to Pop Century and drove around there for a little while just to look at it. And when I came back, my son was still awake. And I said, all right, put him in the stroller. Let's just go for a walk. So we had a cooler full of drinks, and I grabbed a couple drinks. My wife was exhausted. I was like, you stay here and shower. I'm just going to walk my son around. And I put him in the stroller. I put a blanket over him. I planned to just walk the big loop around the entire resort. And he wasn't falling asleep, but he wasn't moving. He was quiet. So I was like, all right, he's settling down. This is good. So I could just enjoy my drinks, enjoy the ambiance. The Skyliner's going overhead. And it's quiet, but the lights are there. As you get close to the pool, you can see everybody having fun in the pool. And that was really my like, all right, like you're here, you're on vacation now. So forget about all the other stuff going on.
Yeah.
You're at Disney. So yeah. That was kind of my first moment. And that was actually my first stop at the Riviera because we went over to, I say we, like he had a choice in it. And he was in the stroller. As we walked around the back end and we were going by the Riviera, I was like, well, I just finished my drink. So I'm going to go into Bar Riva and grab a drink. And when I went in there, the bartender goes, man, he must have been so tired. He's knocked out in there. And it was like, yeah, yes. All right, it worked.
Mission
so that kind of, yeah, it kind of became a nightly thing where he just doesn't want to wind down. He's had so much fun. You can tell he's exhausted. And he put him in the stroller, and that became our nightly routine. Get a nice walk in, and he goes right out.
And you know what? Even if you don't have kids, because I know the loop you're talking about because I ran that sucker like 8 times every morning. That was my morning jog in the, you know, July heat of Florida. Not very fun, but that's why I was up pretty much before the sun came up. But every resort has this. Pop Century has the loop and Art of Animation around Hourglass Lake. Riverside, French Quarter have that path between the two resorts along the Sasagula River. You know, Coronado's got a loop around there. Like, fine. You know, I don't know if you need to do this every day if you don't have kids, but I would encourage folks to either do it in the evening, do a lap around your resort, because I think so many people, and I was guilty of this forever when I stayed at Pop Century, was if we got building number one in the 50s, I didn't see any else of the resort. Like, I would just go to my room, you know, in the main building, and that was it. I never saw the other pools, never saw the rest of the resort. But now that I run, I'm very lucky in that I get to see, you know, all the different sections and everything the resorts have to offer. And I think, you know, it'd be a good idea one morning if you're not rushing out to a theme park, you're having a rest day or a pool day, you know, get up as the sun comes up, grab a cup of coffee or, you know, in my case, a Coke Zero and just walk the resort. I think it's a great, you know, I think that's a great tip too for parents that have young kids. Help them wind down that way. Everybody winds down.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, every resort has so much cool stuff. And even at Caribbean Beach, so we were very close to staying in the pirate rooms. I'm actually glad we didn't just because of location. But when we walked around, I was trying to not be creepy and stare in people's rooms, but also like look at the whole like pirate area they had over there. So it's kind of cool. I was like, all right, I'm not staying in one of those rooms, but I can see the ones that don't have people in it, and I can kind of see a little bit of the decorations they have inside. So like, all right, I feel like I got that experience anyway. So
that works. And they're right there by the Skyliner, though. So that is the advantage of the pirate rooms, man. You are basically in the Skyliner's backyard. All right. So
And it's a big hub, too, that one.
Yeah, right. That is the central hub there of the whole Skyliner system. All right. So you mentioned some of the new things you did. So I just want to, you gave me a list. And I want to make sure we get all these in. We have about 15, 20 minutes, and I want to make sure we give everything its due. So let's go to homecoming. Now, I had a guest just this week email me and said, this is the first time it ever happened. They were not blown away by homecoming, and it was because of they had some gluten allergies, and it was kind of a challenging restaurant for that. But everybody else, I don't have any gluten allergies. I eat anything. So to me, it's good. But what were your thoughts on homecoming?
I thought it was great. And we actually ate there before we even checked in. So the day that we checked in, we had the dining reservation homecoming for that morning. So it was technically the lunch menu because it was at like 11:35 or something like that. So we just missed the breakfast menu. But they still had the chicken and waffles and all that stuff. So my wife had chicken and waffles and I had a chicken sandwich. And I thought it was outstanding. So everything was great. Even like the chips were awesome. And probably, I wouldn't say it's the highlight of the meal, but they had a Bloody Mary there. And started the trip off right with the Bloody Mary, and it was outstanding. So I've heard everybody talk about the Bloody Mary at Olivia's, so I got to try that one now because this was one of the best ones I've ever had. So the whole thing, I would say if you're going to go eat there, don't plan anything right afterwards because even just a regular meal, you're going to be stuffed.
Yeah, that is no lie. I say that every time we talk about homecoming. You are going to walk out of there almost in pain, but in like with a grin on your face because if you're like me and you like comfort food and Southern food, it's good stuff. Now, okay, continuing on with the food here, you mentioned also at the Magic Kingdom, this is one of the things I have never had. I've walked past them so many times, but you had the spring rolls in the Magic Kingdom. Now, because these things are kind of getting a mythology, I think, kind of like Dole Whips. Like they're not at that level, but they're kind of gathering some steam. So what'd you think there?
Yeah, so we got both of them. We got the pepperoni pizza one and we got the hamburger one. And kind of just like you. So when I go to the Magic Kingdom, I normally don't look at food at all because it's just not a big food park. I'm there to do the rides, experience all the big Disney stuff. I might grab like a snack, like a pretzel, a Mickey bar. Really the only Magic Kingdom like centric snack that I focus on is Dole Whips. Mm-hmm. But you hear so much about these, I was like, all right, I got to try them. So we got both. Both are pretty good. The pepperoni ones are super pepperoni-y. Like they're stuffed. Even if you just dunk them in marinara sauce, it tastes like a piece of pizza that has like six layers of pepperoni on it. So if you are not a huge fan of pepperoni, I wouldn't go with the pizza ones. But the hamburger ones taste just like a Big Mac with like crunchy egg roll. So super, super good. Yeah, definitely recommend that one.
Got it. See, again, but that's my problem. Like I always get corn dog nuggets or I go to Columbia Harbor House. I just go to the same places. And I need to, instead of going to one of those meals, grab a couple of these spring rolls and just call it a meal. You know, that's the thing about Walt Disney World, too. And I've done this a few times, but I don't do it often, is that you don't need like three square meals a day. You could survive and have a really, really good day just getting snacks throughout the day. And that's what I need to make myself do, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so you can do them together, too. So you can get one of each in one dish. So if you have a couple people and you just want to split them just to taste them, you're not going to be stuffed. You can still go on to whatever food you like over there. So I would definitely recommend that. Unless you just already know you love them and you're like, yeah, this is my meal.
Great tip. Great. That's why I love these shows, because I just learned something I didn't know. All right. Let's talk about Primo Piatto. You mentioned the Riviera earlier. This is my favorite. I love having that breakfast sandwich. I can't remember. Madame Croque or something like that. It's that ham sandwich that's got an egg on top and some cheese. Oh, I mean, it's so heavy. Like, again, you feel like terrible when you get done eating. If you eat the whole thing, you probably shouldn't eat the whole thing. I don't know. What'd you have over there?
So we went over there. So we actually did Primo Piatto twice, but only for dinner. We didn't do breakfast. So now I got to add that back on the list to go back and do the croque sandwich for breakfast. So, but the first night, my wife got the croque monsieur, which is basically just a kind of a bougie ham sandwich. And that was outstanding. And I got a margarita pizza, and I'll be honest, it wasn't very good. It was kind of like soggy, felt like a left out pizza. And it was to go. So you have the to go order. But that was another nightly walk thing. So my son fell asleep once again, walking. As soon as we got to the Riviera, he fell asleep. So we did a mobile order, picked it up, and that huge courtyard they have out there that has like the big chess and the bocce and all that stuff. We just sat there, let my son sleep. There was kids still out playing, and we just enjoyed a late dinner and sat there and hung out. And then the other night we had an Italian sandwich and a chicken sandwich, and both of those were outstanding as well. So 3 out of 4 dishes over there were absolutely knocked out of the park.
And again, it's
wouldn't recommend the pizza.
Huge tip though for staying at Caribbean Beach, just walk over to Premio Piatto. It's almost, depending on where you are in the resort, it might be closer than the food court at Caribbean Beach. You know,
yeah,
if you're
absolutely
down at that end of Aruba or you're at that end of Martinique, yeah, you're really, really close. And it's good. And you're right, that whole little lawn area between the pool and the restaurant there, with, like, mm-hmm. I said, with bocce and the swings, not like kid swings, but like the, you know, the adult swings where you can just sit there and relax. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was awesome. Like another I'm here moment too, because you had the pool and everything going on, so it was like relaxing because my kids there sleeping, I'm enjoying a good meal, but I can still hear people having fun and enjoying themselves, and just a great ambiance and a good feeling to sit out there after dark.
All right, let's jump into one other thing. I want to get in a few more things, but Pandora, you said exploration in Pandora. So had you not been in Pandora to Animal Kingdom before?
So I'd been in Pandora one time before, but when we went there, we only did the Navi River journey. So that time we went, my wife was pregnant, so it was 3 years ago, and we're really not big Animal Kingdom people. It's always been kind of number 4 out of 4 for me. It's got a lot of great stuff, but it just, I like the traditional Disney stuff, like the really old Disney stuff. So everybody talks about Pandora, they talk about Flight of Passage, they talk about the food there, so we were like, yep, this time we're doing it. So I did Flight of Passage later on in the trip, but this time we went down there and we had the Fonga Lupia. We did the cheeseburger pod. So we had a little bit of wait before we actually went in and sat down and got our food. So that's when I got in line at Pongu Pongu and got the Pongu Lumpia. Lumpia's was amazing. Super, super good. Like, I could have just eaten that and forgotten everything else. It was outstanding. The cheeseburger pods, everybody raves about them and goes nuts about them. I really didn't like them that much. I shouldn't say I didn't like them. They didn't really blow me away. They were okay. It kind of had that Big Mac flavor, but it was a little more oniony. And I don't know. I like bao buns. I just felt like the combo didn't go that great together. So I probably wouldn't get it again. But I know people go crazy about it, and everybody raves about it. It's like it's the best thing at Walt Disney World. So
they kind of remind me of like a Sloppy Joe almost. Like they're not as like you know, liquidy, but they're almost like they taste a little like a Sloppy Joe to me. Which to me, again, I had those a lot growing up. I mean, we had those all the time growing up at our house,
yeah.
But. I don't know, maybe it just takes me back to childhood. I get the protein bowl. I usually don't get the cheeseburger buns anymore.
I think it was the hype around it. I was like ready to have like my mouth explode with flavors, and then I tried it and I was like, oh, this is just like regular park food. So it felt like I just hyped it up so much in my brain that it was kind of a letdown when I actually ate it.
Well, so you also mentioned Tiffin's though. So you're right next door to Tiffin's. So what would you think of that experience?
Yeah, so we waited a little while. So we did all that stuff earlier. So really we had cheeseburger pods for breakfast. I think we ate them at like 10:45 or 11. So it was like, we made a commitment after that. We're not going to eat anything else because we have Tiffin's and it's this big fancy restaurant. We actually saved Disney gift cards to make it a little bit easier when we finally swiped that Magic Band. Tiffin's was really, really good. But kind of the same thing. Everybody hypes up the bread service. I really didn't think it was that great. I know most people talk about it more at Sanaa than they do at Tiffin's. But it was okay. There were certain like combinations. Thankfully, just me and my wife eating it, so we could kind of combine everything, like each bread with each sauce. So it was good, but it wasn't as good as I was expecting it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But we had shrimp and grits there and the butter chicken there, partly because they were some of the only items on the menu that weren't like $50 a dish. But
right. They
actually ended up both being super delicious. So I had the grits, and I love grits and I love shrimp, and it was awesome. Probably wouldn't do that again, except for like a really special occasion, because it is super, super pricey. And if you're in the park, you don't normally want that crazy heavy meal, but it was really good.
Yeah, it's one of those places I still haven't gone, and it's cost. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, my family really wouldn't be into the real exotic kind of stuff either. You know, if I was, but I go down for like race weekends and stuff, and I, you know, I'm pretty blue collar. Like I can get by on a, you know, a hot dog after a pretzel.
Yeah.
You know, I like, you know, when I'm hanging out with friends and they make the ADRs and we all go, it's a good time and I enjoy my times, but I usually don't seek out, you know, signature meals and stuff like that. So, but they're fun. I get it. I'm totally with you.
And we're normally the same way. Cause once you're in the parks, you don't want to be stuffed all day. There was a couple of years ago, we went to Beer Garden and it almost ruined the rest of the day at Epcot because you're paying this much for it. This was back pre-COVID, so it was buffet style, and they have these gigantic beers. So I walked out of there, waddling out of there. Like, I think we made it to Italy, and we just sat down under that huge obelisk because we were like, all right, we need to just relax for like an hour and let this sit because we were going to be miserable the rest of the day. So kind of the same thing. So we're not normally big like food eaters at sit down restaurants on park days, except for at the, maybe the very end of the day. This is at like 3 o'clock. So we still had a lot of day left, but it wasn't super filling though. It was just kind of just the right amount.
Yeah. I do love me some Beer Garden, and I killed myself in that place. Cause I'm like, I'm going to get my money's worth because those desserts there. Oh my God. They were to die for. I just tore them up after I had everything else, you know, all the brats and I can't even think about it right now. I ate too much. Okay, so some other stuff. Now, you mentioned solo time in the parks, which some people enjoy this. Some people, it's just like you feel off, right? I think I'm kind of like 50-50 on this. Sometimes I enjoy it when I'm down for a race weekend and, you know, I leave the family at home. But then, you know, I think when you become a parent, like whenever I see like a dad and a daughter doing something cool, like I'm like, oh, man, this is kind of, you know, I'm missing out on some stuff. So what were your thoughts on being in the park by yourself?
Yeah, so I had the same exact thought you did, and I actually had, like, guilt because my wife was exhausted, my son was exhausted, so this was the first night that he didn't need a walk to fall asleep. He laid down in bed, and he passed right out, so I actually asked my wife, I was like, hey, do you want to go sit outside, and we'll just kind of hang out here? She's like, honestly, I'm ready for bed. It was, like, 7:30. I was like, well, I'm still hyped up from the day. I'm not ready for bed. That tipping's finally just settled, so... She's like, why don't you go to the pool and relax? And I just was kind of like, we got these park hoppers. It's 2 hours left till the park closes. Might hop on the Skyliner at Epcot. And she's like, yeah, go for it. And I felt kind of bad, like I was leaving her there to go have fun at the parks. But the way that I described it to her was, when you're at the parks and you see your kid having fun, it's so, that's to me, that's where like the magic is. And that's where it's so special. Like, you're not going to stand in line for an hour to meet Sorcerer Mickey. But when your kid's there and you see him light up, oh my God, that it's the best part of the day, because you just lose it how happy you are seeing your kid that happy. So being in the parks with your kids, super special, super magical. This was just fun. It didn't feel as special, but it was enjoyable the same way, because I have very long legs. My wife is shorter than me, obviously. With a three-year-old, we're not moving that fast. She regularly tells me to slow down so I could really like move and step it out. So it was definitely enjoyable. I could rush around. I could get all the food that I wanted to try. I could get on rides that we weren't going to do because my son was there. So, like, I did Soarin' by myself. And it was a good time. I got to try a bunch of good foods. I did eat some stuff that I always get there, like the cucumber margarita at La Cava.
Nice.
One of my favorites. But got to try some new things. I tried the Trollhorn at Norway. Pretty good. Not as good as the school bread. And I went to Caramel Kuka for the first time. And got caramel popcorn, got a butter bar. So I was literally a kid in the candy shop where I could kind of do whatever I want. So it's not a bad thing to compromise for your family and do other things that they want, but it was nice to be like, oh, like I don't have to think about what somebody else likes to eat. I can just pick whatever I want to eat or whatever I want to drink. So that was kind of nice. I definitely prefer being in the parks with family, though.
Same for me. I mean, I love my race weekends, and I get that's the time that, say, in Epcot, you know, I'll do American Adventure. I'll do Impressions de France, you know, because my family will do those in the summer, but they'll do them once over the period of a week just because they know I like it. Like, well, I enjoy it. Like, yeah. I can do it every day, but... So I get that stuff that they're just like, why, you know, the movie in China, like, why do you like that? You know, it's like old Epcot, you know, it is. I like that. Yeah. You're living with the land twice, you know, who cares? I enjoy the ride. So I don't feel guilty about that, but you're right. I miss my family and I'm much, much happier with them. All right. A couple of things.
I was just saying, I did get one of probably the cooler moments on the trip in this one. So I've lucked out at park closing a few times and gotten some free food. So this time park was about to close. I almost ran. I was speed walking to get over to Soarin'. So I got on. By the time I got out, it was like 45 minutes after closing. So as I walked from Soarin' back through England and Canada, or the UK and Canada, to get to the Skyliner, as I was going through Canada, there was a cast member out there with like 10 buckets of the maple, or the boxes of maple popcorn.
No way.
And she's just handing them out for free. So I'm walking out of the park with a bag full of caramel popcorn and a box full of maple popcorn in my hands. Just happy as can be. So... Because that was a bucket list item too, but I was like, I don't need any more food. But she's like, oh, giving away for free. I'm not gonna pass on that one.
Heck no. You paid for that food many times over. So you had it coming to you. That's never happened to me. But again, I'm usually not there that late after closing, so I'll have to. Good tip. All right, one of the other things I want to ask you about, you did a DVC tour at the Riviera. Now, I've done this as well. I stayed a night with my buddy Scott. I crashed there before I had a room for, I guess it was last December, for that Give Kids World event that we did. So what'd you think about the tour and about the Riviera when you went through?
So I'll tell you what, they do a good job of selling it. I completely understand why somebody goes in there and goes, yeah, this is worth thousands of dollars up front for my vacation. Because they really sell it really well. They show you through all the rooms. So in the Riviera, they showed us that little studio room that's kind of like a cruise ship room.
Yep.
Where there's only one bed and it's a Murphy bed. So that was kind of cool to see that. They point out all the little hidden Mickeys everywhere. Probably the coolest thing was seeing the three-bedroom villa, which I can't be the only one that does this, where you go on like Realtor or Zillow and you're like, let's just see what kind of house I could afford if I had $50 million.
You're right.
Oh man, life would be great if I had this huge house. So that was kind of what this three-bedroom villa was, because she was like, well, if you have DVC and you have enough points, you could stay here, but otherwise it's $42,000 a week. And man, everybody's jaw just dropped. And it was a beautiful room, completely amazing. Three huge rooms, huge living space, right on the corner, so it looks like right out over the water in Caribbean Beach. But I was like, man, who? I mean, I guess if you got that much money, you might as well spend it at Disney. But just thinking about spending I felt like I was losing breath thinking about spending that much money on a Disney room.
Right. I mean, it's because we've seen them. Like, I mean, over the years, if you've watched any of the planning, you know, videos and so forth, they always show, you know, this extended family, grandparents, parents, kids, all kind of hanging out in one of these grand villas, and it looks so much fun. But then you think about, these things are actually rented out probably most of the time. They don't sit empty. So people are renting these out, but I'm the same way. Like, yeah, I stay at Pop Century. I'm just sorry. That's me. I mean, that's how I roll. That's how, you know, I'm not, someday maybe I can, you know, I think that's our, that's kind of something to dream about. And if it happens, great. If it doesn't, it was always a good dream.
Yeah. And that's, actually, that's what the lady said to us. She was like, you know, you think that everybody that comes here and stays in this room is a DVC member. It's not. It's usually people that pay cash. So, you know, it's just some crazy rich businessman or something that's like, yep, bringing my family. I'm spending money. We're going to enjoy it.
Nice. Nice. Okay, a couple of things. So now you mentioned Morimoto's. You went to Morimoto's in Morimoto Asia that's in Disney Springs. This place is beautiful. I went there for a media event back when in 2016 when Disney Springs kind of got rebranded. And I was kind of blown away by the place. What did you think?
Yeah, it was awesome. So kind of just like Tippins, where we looked at the menu and we were like, all right, we got to be careful what we pick here, because it was, everything is crazy expensive there. But just walking into it is absolutely gorgeous. Those huge chandeliers they have hanging down there, they have all the like the ducks and everything hanging in there, so you can see people making sushi, you can see all the birds and everything ready to be served, which some people might be creeped out by that. I thought it was kind of cool. And just the big open floor plan was really cool. I ended up getting ramen. So you go to a gourmet restaurant and you get ramen. But it was not like top ramen, obviously. It was absolutely delicious. It was duck ramen, big chunks of duck in it. But I had the spicy shrimp as the appetizer, and that was friggin', oh, that was so good. I would go back just to get that as an appetizer. It was so good.
Nice. And it's gorgeous. I mean, if folks haven't ever walked in this restaurant, like you said, the chandeliers, there's are there still tables kind of on the second level and down in the main kind of floor area too? Is that still how it's laid out?
There was, yeah. And I thought it would be more spread out. I mean, they really packed it in there. So we were right before they lifted all the mask mandates and then re-put them back in. So we were at the end of the first mandate. So people were still in masks when they weren't eating, but I think they did some engineering there to go, all right, we know it has to be exactly this much apart. And they put every table like square, that exact distance apart. So it was a little bit tight in there just walking around, but they did have the top stuff as well.
Good stuff. You mentioned the mask. Okay. So we're going like back. I was there in that lucky kind of brief window where you only had to wear a mask on transportation. That was it, which was super nice for me because I never leave the house and I don't wear a mask because of that. I don't wear a mask very often. So how did your son handle it? And how was it for you guys when you were down there? Cause it was the summer.
So he does pretty good. So outside walking around, we didn't have to wear the mask. It was just inside.
Okay.
We went and found him masks that he likes. So he's really into like typical little kid stuff. He likes dinosaurs. He likes cars. So we bought theme masks that were like that. He'd be like, all right, put your dinosaur mask on. And that got him to put it on. He wasn't super good about keeping it up over his nose. But the cast members, even when they told us to fix it, they were super nice. They weren't pushy about it. So it wasn't too bad. The first time we went, right when it opened, he was an anti-masker. He wanted nothing to do with it because he was two at the time. So he was just over the age where he had to wear it. So this was back in like the beginning of COVID. And we showed up at the park and we were like, this is going to be 50-50 if they're even going to let us in, because we know he's not going to put it on. And thankfully, he started putting it on that day. So he picked the right day. So we've kind of been building it up, and we knew we were going. So like for the months beforehand, every time we go into a store, we were really getting the mask on. Even up here in North Carolina, they're not too big on it with kids, but we would still do it, and he kind of got used to it. So that eased it a little bit.
It's a good tip, though, you know, to, you know, as you take your child, that's, again, that's why I love these Monday shows for folks that may be going down here soon and have younger children. That's a great idea. You know, maybe just, you know, take the kid to Target a couple times a week or to the grocery store and, you know, show them, okay, when we go inside the store, and then, you know, once they get to Walt Disney World, they'll see, okay, we're going inside a building. This is just what we do. And it's kind of a normal thing by that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. Okay. So, one more thing. You mentioned you guys, you just have Everglaze donuts in here. And we had this conversation on one of our shows recently. Gideon's cookies against Everglaze donuts. Which one do you want? I fell in the Everglaze donuts party there. Pam Forrester says just a glazed donuts with crazy stuff on top, which I said that's right and it's fine. What was your feeling? What were your feelings with Everglaze?
So I haven't had Gideon's yet, so I can't comment on it too much, but I would still say Everglaze just because of the line.
Yeah, for real.
So I have yet to go to Disney Springs where there wasn't a line wrapped around the corner. So, nice. But we went to Everglaze. I actually got up. It was our last day there, so we were checking out that day, and I drove over there. I actually got there before parking opened, so that was a little bit upsetting because I ended up having to just drive around and wait for the parking to open. But I got there, no line at all, walked right in. Eyes went huge as soon as I saw all these donuts, and I got 6 donuts just for me and my wife, and we probably could have done one for the two of us.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty big, and obviously all the stuff on top. We ended up, after that, we went up to my mother-in-law's house, and we stayed there for a couple days as kind of a midway point on the drive back. And it took us the entire time to finish those donuts. So per person is more than enough.
Do you remember your favorite one? I like mine had, I think it had like Reese's peanut butter cups on top, the one I really
So we got the... We got the Reese's one, the S'mores one, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch one was my favorite, and then we had like a butterscotch one, and I can't remember the other two we had, but I remember I looked at them, and I got down on my last one, and it was two that both looked really good, and I almost went, can you take a different one out of the box to put both of those in, but I ended up just picking one, and I think I got the one that has the Fruity Pebbles on top.
Sounds good. Okay, so you got me almost running. We have a place called Old Time Donuts. I'm about ready to jump out of this studio. Yeah. They're not as good, but it's a donut, and I haven't had donut in ages. Okay, so we're running a little short. I want to make sure we get all this in. So looking back on that trip, like is there one memory or story that kind of sticks out? Because you kind of shared, you know, walking with your son at night to wind down. But was there any other, you know, unique thing that happened during this trip that you really remember?
Yeah, so the other big thing that we did was, like I said, when I was a little kid, we only stayed at Fort Wilderness. My father-in-law has DVC, so when my wife was a teenager, they started doing DVC, but prior to that, they only did Fort Wilderness. So we both have really fond memories of that. So we went over there, we got a golf cart, we drove around Fort Wilderness, and we just looked at all the sights and everything. And like I said, I'm a nostalgia guy. I like the nostalgia and the old feel of Disney. I don't know that I would love it as much if I didn't have the memories to fall back on from when I was a kid, that as I am now seeing in my son. So seeing that, we were like, okay, I think we got to start doing Fort Wilderness. So
right.
We're going around and my wife has her phone out and she's marking down RVs that she likes. And we got home and the very next week we bought an RV because we were like, all right, this is going to be our place for a little while. And maybe that's what we do. Maybe we do RVing at Fort Wilderness for as long as the kids like it, and then once they're a little bit older, maybe that's when we finally pull the trigger and do DVC. But we had an absolute blast doing that, and I would recommend doing that for anybody. If you can get a cart, go over there and just drive around. There's just so much cool stuff to do. Everybody's out having a blast. You'll usually find people just sitting out, barbecuing, hanging out in their RVs. People put decorations up, so it's just cool to spend a couple hours driving around and seeing what everybody has around their sites.
Absolutely. Like when I used to stay at Wilderness Lodge, back before they started working on Reflections, you could run from Wilderness Lodge over to Fort Wilderness on this really nice path. And my favorite thing to do was just to run through the loops. You know, you see the tent can the tents. You would see the kind of fifth wheels. You would see the big old, you know, I call it like the Madden Cruisers. I was like, yeah. That thing probably costs. I guarantee you that thing costs more than my house. You know, just. And but you're right. I mean, I say Old Key West has a very, you know, it has a sense of community. It's almost like it's a little Florida community on Disney property, but Fort Wilderness on top of that, because you see kids riding bikes. You see everybody's kind of flying their, you know, their college colors or, you know, like you say in the holidays, they'll have up the inflatables. It is, I mean, you stated it. I mean, everybody needs to kind of get over there and just see it because it has, you wouldn't realize you're that close to the Magic Kingdom. I mean, you really feel like you're in this role, you know, camping community. I love it. I've never stayed there, but I really want to. My wife doesn't want to camp. She'd kill me, but maybe a cabin someday. I don't know. She likes food courts.
It's definitely different. Like, if you're not ready for it, it's not as luxurious as a resort. So if you want to do Fort Wilderness, but you're not like, it's not rough in it. Let's be honest. You're still in an RV. So, and you can rent the RVs and they'll set the whole thing up for you. So you're basically kind of falling in on a house, but it's definitely different. So, which I guess kind of segues into whenever we do our next trip report for the trip that I just got back from Fort Wilderness. So tons of stuff to do there. Like you said, super close to the parks or to Magic Kingdom and all the resorts that are there, which is a huge plus. So I would highly recommend, like I said, even if you're not going to stay there, just getting over and checking out the campsite because people have signs in their yards. It's Fort Wilderness Camping Club, Disney Camping Nerds. Like, so there's clubs of people that just go there as communities. I know my wife said when she was a kid, her dad and some of his workers would rent out almost entire loops and they would have 10 RVs just lined up and they'd stay there for 3 or 4 days. Everybody bring their kids and they'd rent one site that was like a potluck site and they'd set up tents and stuff there. So probably tough to do that now. It's getting a little bit more crowded and a little bit harder to book, but even still, the community there was awesome.
That sounds so cool. Like, I'm not a camper, but that I'm like all in. Like, I want a piece of that. That's awesome. Because that's, you know, I always say, find a different way to see Walt Disney World if you've been so many times. Yep. And that for me would be totally, I'd be a little out of my comfort zone, but it'd be cool. I like learning new things. So, all right, we got to wrap this, but I want to give you the opportunity to let everybody know where they can follow you. Because again, you are a big Disney nut and you also like to kind of share all your passion for Disney. So where can people check out everything you do?
Yeah, so I post everything from our trips, but not just from trips. So when I run out of stuff from the trips, I'll just kind of post stuff that I like, or I'll do a top five, or I'll just post about Disney news over on Instagram at Mr. Tom Morrow. So mr.tom.morro. And like I said, I'm two trips behind now, so I'm still posting about this Caribbean beach trip. I'm actually on like day five. So things got a little bit busy at work, so I like dropped down to like every 3 days, and now I'm kind of getting back into a rhythm here. But even still, it's like, man, I just had so much stuff to say that I'm like, all right, I gotta make sure I write down all the trips from the Fort Wilderness trip that I just took, because I'm two trips backed out. Like, I was like, man, I can make this go to Christmas with all this stuff. So I got a lot of food pictures there, a lot of stuff from the restaurants, and then as I'm walking around the park, I'll see something looks cool and just be like, man, that's gonna be a good shot. So semi-professional iPhone photographer.
There you go. There aren't we all? You try. I try. I'm not that great, but portrait mode makes everybody look better.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And the widescreen thing if you have the Max.
And quite frankly, it's mostly my wife. We'll sit down and eat somewhere, and I'll just hand her my phone, and she'll start clearing stuff off the table and trying to set it in a position to see stuff behind it.
I know the feeling. Actually, as we're recording this, I leave in about 12 hours to go down, and my task is to get all this video and photos of how Disney Cruise Line has changed. So, and I've been schooled by everybody on, okay, the meals, you got to take pictures, they have to have the right lighting, they can't have, you know, don't take a bite of it first, you know, obviously. Yeah. Like, I know that stuff. Like, come on now. I mean, they won't be, yep. You know, I know other people do it better, but I'll give it a good college try. So I'll check it out. Yeah, definitely. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Same thing. When I first started doing this, half of things I posted were half eaten. Like, I posted the Peter Pan Dole Whip, and it did look, it was like a cup that looked like it was just filled with slushy Sprite in it. Right. So I got it like halfway down, and I was like, oh, I didn't take a picture.
Stuff at Disney tastes too good, man. As soon as they throw it in front of me, I'm just like, oh man, I should have taken a picture. too late. Yeah. No, and then I try to spin it around so you really can't tell, but you can if you're looking. It's a mess. All right. Well, hey, Mike, I appreciate the time. I know you've been super busy and we had to carve out this little, you know, period of time to get this recorded. I'm so glad we did. And check everybody, check him out over on Instagram. And we'll talk again about the Fort Wilderness trip. That really intrigues me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on. I look forward to coming back.
All righty. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today for all your Disney trip planning needs. They're over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. One extra click does mean a lot to us. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you so much to our patrons. You guys allow us to put this show out 3 to 4 times a week all around the world. It's because of your support. And our patrons get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you want more information on becoming a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on social media. I got lots of stuff on there right now at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. Of course, subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube to search for the BeOurGuestPodcast. And join us this Sunday night. Scotty G will be joining me. We'll be taking your calls, talking all things Disney. And of course, we'll be talking about Genie, the new hotness that everybody's been talking about for the past week. We'll take your questions and see if we can figure this all out together. When does it make sense? When does it not? Are you going to go for Lightning Lane? All kinds of new terminology we got to learn. We're going to have a good time with that this Sunday night. So join us 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central on YouTube and Facebook. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thank you so much for joining us. So for Mike, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Monday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.